Round one was over. Parents won. Kids sip.
I only hope that we never lose sight of one thing. That was all started by a mouse.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep!
Gentlemen, start your engine!
To infinity and beyond!
There's a touch of madness around here.
DDP Today, a show that's a little about us, a lot about Disney and fun for the whole family. My name is Justin, and today I am joined by a few buddies, a few pals, a few amigos, and I'm going to get to all of them, but first I'm going to go to my main man, the guy who helped me start this amazing show, the great Mike Stolfi. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, man? How are you? I'm those last couple of days of work, I'm kind of disappointed because I'm doing a Florida trip, but it's not really a Florida trip. I'm leaving Wednesday for Florida, and then I'm coming back on Friday. Sammy's got a cheer competition on Thursday somewhere in the Orlando area. I don't even think it's on Disney property. And it's kind of a tease because we're staying at Old Key West for a couple of days. So you're just so close to being in the bubble, yet we're not doing anything park-related. Maybe we'll get to go to Disney Springs for dinner one night. You know, we're going to be talking a little bit about Disney Springs tonight, which is kind of cool. So to tie it into the show a little bit. But yeah, not your typical Florida trip. I called all of our Florida peeps and I said, hey, listen, I don't want you to see me down in Florida and think I didn't think about you. It's really a quick trip, driving down Wednesday night, competition all day Thursday, and then cutting back out Friday morning. So it's literally hop, skip, and a jump. We'll be in, out, and gone. If we happen to cross paths, fantastic. If not, no big deal. So I will be down in the Sunshine State in a day or two. But other than that, good luck to Sammy's team. Hope everybody does well. And other than that, I'm just more than looking forward to not being at work for the rest of the week. So that's pretty much the fair trade-off.
I hope they absolutely crush it. I'm going to be cheering from here. Is there anywhere to stream that? Can you watch? Is that a thing?
Yeah, it's Varsity TV or something like that, I think it is. I got to get you the info on that. Yeah, I might be able to give you my login and password or something, or I'll send you the video when we're done.
Let's go. I like it. Absolutely love it. Well, I'll tell you what. All the guys are traveling right now. So Dan's in Mexico. Dave is in. I think the last I heard, he's become a Buddhist monk and he's moved. And he's no longer talking or doing anything with phones or technology. So we'll see about next week where he is.
And Joe's actually up the street from me, as a matter of fact.
He is up the street. Yeah. You're gonna see him tomorrow, right?
Yeah. We're doing some dinner plans tomorrow. Joe's actually in town with a bunch of buddies. He's in Myrtle Beach and he's literally staying at a golf resort where I almost bought a house. The Legends Golf Resort he's staying at for the next couple of days. So I know him and his buddies did some golfing today. They have a 1 o'clock tea time tomorrow. He was getting me some dinner suggestions for me tonight. And I said, perfect. So I said, whatever you don't do tonight, I got some great stuff planned for tomorrow. So hopefully I get to see Joe Q tomorrow for dinner.
Yeah, he's coming through here on Friday. We're going to do lunch, so it'll be good. I'm excited to see him. But we had to bring in some of the ringers. We had to bring in some of the runners. We had to bring in some of the captains from the DDP Sorcerers Runaround Table. I'm going to start with, not only is he on the DDP Sorcerers Runaround Table, he is also the newest host on Universal Unleashed, and that is the great Ankur Agarwal. What's up, man?
Going well. It's, New Jersey has weird weather in the spring. It gets nice for a few days and then it rains and then it gets cold and then it gets miserable and then I get sick and then it gets warm again and then it gets cold again. It's not a lot of fun.
That sounds horrible. It was 89 degrees here today. It was beautiful. And I will probably be going to the beach in the next couple of days. That's for sure. But I've also got to go to the main man himself. He is the one, the only, the coach, Kyle McCammon. What is up, buddy? I tell you this, hold on 1 second. I was so disappointed to text you today because I just downgraded from the half marathon in about 10 days to the 10K. And you were the one I was most disappointed to text that to. Because I've been sick, I didn't feel comfortable running that race. But dude, welcome to the main show, up to the big leagues tonight, buddy.
Thank you. And yes, representing all the B team players out there, Ankur and I, we are very excited to join you guys. But honestly, man, you made the right call. You made absolutely the right call to go down to make sure that you feel good, comfortable, and to be able to progress your training from there, you're good.
You know what I was talking about today, man? And I was like, it's funny because we have, so for anyone out there who has ever thought about doing a Run Disney race or has ever thought about even just coming to spectate a Run Disney race, this is the year to do it. You need to be down there in January because I think as of right now, we have 59 runners. Do the math. 59 runners doing Run Disney Marathon weekend. If you do the math with family members, we may push almost 200 DDP friends, families, and runners inside of the parks for the 2025 Run Disney Marathon weekend. That is an unbelievable number. It's an unbelievable statement to you two and what you have done to grow that community, positivity you've brought. It is absolutely an incredible space. And if you've not done so, click that link below, go over and join that community because it is absolutely the most positive place. It doesn't matter if it's your first step or your millionth. That is the spot to go to make sure that you're getting to the goal that you want to get to. And we're going to cheer you on no matter where you are in that goal, no matter if you're just taking that first step or if you're running those 4-minute miles and doing world marathon paces. We're happy to talk to you about each and everything that you have going on. And this January is going to be epic. If you want to come down, make sure to get a hold of us, show it away with me, travel.com. We will crush it. We will get you down there because it is going to be a once in a lifetime experience to be with the DDP, be with the DDP sorcerers, and be a part of getting up at 3 a.m., cheering on runners, running those races, creating memories last a lifetime. And it's going to be something really, really special. And that's because of you two and the other captains over there at the DDP Sorcerer. So now that I've given you all your flowers, I'm done with that. I am done. Okay. I've built you up enough.
Yeah,
now I'm
going to
take
okay.
you. Yeah. Now I'm going to take you on a journey. Okay. I'm going to take you on a journey back a long, long time ago. And it's a journey that I lived for the majority of it. And that was a journey to one of my favorite places, and that was downtown Disney. And originally the Lake Buena Vista Shopping Village back in 1977 that was brought along and then, of course, became downtown Disney. And it's an amazing space. It was one of those things that whenever they created it, the Walt Disney Company realized, hey, we have people that are coming to go to the parks. They're coming to go to the Magic Kingdom. They're coming to go to Epcot. And they're leaving property to buy their souvenirs. They're not staying on property. And what can we do to create that? So they did one of two things. The first thing is a Michael Eisner job, and that is create hotels all around property, keep you inside the bubble. The second was to create a shopping district to make sure that you're staying within the bubble, make sure that you're staying here, spending your money with the company, and you're getting those souvenirs that you know you want, you love. They also could keep control over the product placement, over what you would buy, what would be offered, things like that. And so they decided to create a shopping district that people came to know and love over the next 30, 40 years. And I will tell you this, this is one of the best things they have done. But with that said, this has changed over the years. We have seen it go from the Lake Buena Vista Shopping Village to the Walt Disney World Village to the Disney Village Marketplace to downtown Disney to Disney Springs. And with all of those changes, also came a change in the attitude and the shopping experience and the dining experience that you had whenever you would visit. Now, before we get into the topic, I want to go around the table and I want to talk about our personal experiences with this property because unlike the parks, this is something that a lot of people, this was second to them. They never visited. It wasn't a big thing for their trips. But I think now it has become a priority for a lot of Disney fans from around the world when they visit the Walt Disney World Resort to make sure they visit Disney Springs. So let me start with you, Mike. Whenever we talk about your history with the property, going all the way back, like I said, to the Lake Buena Vista Shopping Village, but even downtown Disney, talking Pleasure Island, talking all the things that used to be there, what's your history with this amazing property at Disney?
So in my early childhood, I don't have a lot of history with it. It wasn't something that my parents did, wasn't something that I got to experience. My first experience with actually going there was when Sarah was very little. I think it was one of our first trips, and we were staying at Saratoga Springs, and I always wanted to do something with the girls kind of like on our own, like a kind of a day with just me and Sarah. Me and Sammy and Laura would do the same thing, that they would have their own, you know, just a little bit of alone time to kind of do their own kind of stuff. And I remember one night we were sitting at the resort, and we were kind of, you know, we we had a pretty easy day. And I said, you know what? I want to go out with Sarah tonight. Let's take a boat ride. And I'd never been to, I don't remember going down to Downtown Disney at the time. And I said, let's take a boat ride over to Downtown Disney. We'll just walk around a little bit. We'll do some shopping, maybe get some ice cream. Sarah was really small at the time. And we said, we'll take a nice little leisurely boat. So we did that, went over to Disney's, you know, it was Downtown Disney at the time. And I actually have pictures of Sarah standing on the Pleasure Island Bridge from back then. So I kind of liked it when I was down there, and that was obviously way before the refurbishment. So from that going forward, we kind of made that part of our family trip where we would kind of maybe spend a little bit of off time, or just, you know, if we were going to go someplace for dinner, we'd take a little extra look there for reservations if there's something we wanted to do or see. So it wasn't really on our radar the first couple of trips, but after a little while, when Sarah was maybe around, I don't know, 7 or 8 years old, we took our first venture over there, and then we became regular. And that was, that was one of those places where we wanted to make sure we had a dining reservation for. We wanted to at least put our feet on the property one time or another so we could say it was part of our trip. We really enjoyed doing it. And then obviously, after all of the refurbishments, it just becomes a major part of our trips now, you know, especially with the girls who, you know, my girls love to shop, and, you know, between Lululemon and all the other, you know, boutique stores they have down there. I kind of wish they didn't like going down there so much because my credit card's usually on fire by the time we get out of there. But, you know, we spoil our kids. That's what we do. And, you know, fortunately enough that they get to really enjoy their time down there. So that's kind of been our little bit of his, our little bit of the Stolfi history with the Downtown Disney.
Ankur, if you're looking back over the last, you know, however long, do you have a history with Downtown Disney, Disney Springs? I mean, what's your main thoughts on this property?
I'm kind of similar to Mike. I didn't have a huge Disney Springs, Downtown Disney history before it became Disney Springs. My parents never went there, so I had never even really heard of it until after Amy and I got married and we went down with our sisters. We all took a couple hours when we first arrived to Orlando. We decided we didn't have a park, reservation. They didn't have reservations then, but we did not have a park ticket for that day. So we had a car. We were trying to find something to do. So we went to Downtown Disney for a couple hours. The pier was closed by then. I think the only thing that was there was, you know, I think Ghirardelli's was there, or Godiva, whichever chocolate place it was. So we kind of went there. We did a little bit of shopping, but everything else was kind of closed. They hadn't really done the renovations yet, or I think really had the plans for it. I think those were announced a few months after we were there, but there wasn't a lot that was open. Once Disney Springs opened, we're the same way. We go down there at least once every trip, either for a dining reservation. I think there's very little I haven't done in Downtown Disney that I still need to, other than I still haven't made it over to Gideon's. I've actually went to the Downtown Orlando Gideon's, which is cookies, I think, are just as good.
That's interesting. It is,
yeah. So we were going to a family friend's house and we wanted to bring something unique there. So, and we had a car. So Amy and I went and drove down to Downtown Orlando, went to the small Gideon's down there, picked up cookies from there, and then went to a friend's place. So, I mean, it's similar. The cookies are, I think they're exact same, but it's the size of like a 10 by 10 stall. It is not the expansive store that Gideon's is. So at some point I would like to do that, but I love Downtown Disney now. I do think there are maybe a couple things lacking, which we'll bring up in a little bit, but I think it's phenomenal, the overhaul that they've done with it.
Can I admit to something on here? I have never waited in line for a Gideon's cookie, and I've had one multiple times.
You know,
picking it off the ground doesn't count.
Cheryl is amazing. They joined us for dinner one night, her and Alec, and she had Gideon's cookies and she delivered one. And then I've had other people bring me cookies when we've met up in Disney Springs, and they're great. They're really, really good. I don't, out of the four of us, are they 2 hour, 3 hour, 4 hour wait for a cookie? Great. Anybody?
No, absolutely not.
We have a crumble cookie We've here that I think is just as good.
Would you do it, Kyle? Would you wait that long?
So every time we go into Springs, we do get a virtual queue or whatever they have going on for it, put our name on the list. But we're never there long enough that our name actually gets called. So to just like anyone who has been on that list and who has not gotten a cookie, we feel your pain, Shan and I. We are still haven't had a Gideon cookie.
Do you need me to get you a cookie?
Please get me a cookie.
I will get you a cookie. I'm going to get you a cookie. I got you a cookie, dude. I got you covered. Dude, your experience with Disney Springs, Downtown Disney.
So if, years ago, we had gone on a family trip where it was my parents, my brother, and two of my cousins came with us. And that was my first experience with Downtown Disney. And kind of same thing with Anker. We didn't have a park ticket one day. And so mom and dad were like, what can we do where we don't need a park ticket and still, you know, enjoy something on property? And so we had spent literally an entire day inside of Disney Quest. And that's where I'm going to leave that for now. But that was really the only memory that I have about Downtown Disney before we came back, like before I came back as an adult. And it was Disney Springs at that point. And it took a long time to get Downtown Disney out of my brain to call it Disney Springs. And then we went to Disneyland and it's still Downtown Disney there. So it's like, wait, what just happened? What are we calling this again? That, you know, as an adult, very different experience than what I remember as a kid.
Yeah. So for me, I think I have probably the longest tenure with Disney Springs, Downtown Disney and all that. I started going when I was a kid, and then I traveled frequently to the parks through college. I would take my girlfriend, which I've talked about before, that I bought a horse instead of an engagement ring for. Most genius move I've ever made in my entire life is doing that. But I took her to Walt Disney World, and one of my favorite things was the Comedy Warehouse there in Pleasure Island. There at Downtown Disney, and it was such a unique change from Downtown Disney to what we see now in Disney Springs. I think Disney Springs lacks a lot in the fact that it's kind of a cookie cutter shopping experience for a lot of people with a lot of the name brands that we see that you could get anywhere in major cities. You can go in Myrtle Beach, you could go Chicago, New York, Charleston, you know, and go down King Street, and I can get those types of shops there. When it used to be Downtown Disney, we had more of a unique Disney experience to it. And so it's definitely changed a lot, I think, for the better in some ways and for the negative in a lot of ways. And so that's going to bring us to tonight's topic, in the fact that, you know what, Mike, it's been way too long. We've had emails, we've had messages, we've had people reach out and they've said, when are you doing your next Imagineering episode? I think it's been over a year since we've done one. So tonight, we're putting on our hard hats, we're putting on our Imagineering hats, and we are going not to the parks, not to the resorts, not to the water parks. We're going to Disney Springs, and we are putting on the Imagineering hats, and we are coming up with a brand new area of this incredible experience when you're at the Disney parks to go over. There can be anything you want to add. There is no limitations, from restaurants to activities to shows to bars to you name it. It's there. You can add it. It's up to you. We have not discussed this beforehand. We have no idea what each person is going to add, and we will see what the DDP family thinks about what we would add to Disney Springs to make it the perfect complement to your Walt Disney World vacation. And I'm excited to hear what you guys would add over at the DDP, of course, patron Facebook page and the DDP Facebook page over there. Mike, we got to start with the guests, buddy. We can't start with ourselves. Mm-hmm. This is the way it is. It's manners. I'm going to start with the great Anker. Buddy, if you could add one area to Disney Springs, you can add anything you want, make it a better experience for the patrons. Here we go.
I'm just glad I don't have to follow Mike. So I'm glad I'm going first, because Mike always seems to kill it. So the way I thought about this is, Disney, one of the things they do better than anybody is storytelling. And I knew a little bit about the idea of Disney Springs, this idea that it was a natural Florida spring. And so they created this story about a small Florida town that came up in the 1900s. It expanded and developed into these four areas. And so I thought, if I'm going to be an Imagineer, I have to stick with the story. I have to stick with that this is a town that's slowly expanding and eventually gets taken over by what we know of as Disney Springs. But, you know, you have the town center, which is still, you know, that's kind of self-explanatory as to what the town center was. You have the landing, you have the marketplace, you have the west side. So my idea was, well, if you have an expanding town in the 1900s, what else would you need in that town for it to flourish? And I think you need an area dedicated to kids. You need a school, you need a playground, maybe a dirt area for baseball, sports. And that's one thing I think Disney Springs currently lacks. You have the parks, which clearly attracts kids, and Disney's kind of for kids, but adults love Disney too. And when I take my kids, who are currently eight, my twins, to Disney Springs, they do get a little bit bored. You know, we're wandering around, there's a lot to see, but they're not there to look at the architecture, people watch. That's clearly not their thing. They get entertained if we go into a busy place for dinner or something like that. You know, if we happen to go to Raglan Road, there's a show there. But if I take them to, you know, the Jock Lindsey's Hangar Bar, they're not exactly thrilled to be sitting there, other than the fact they get to see the cars going into the water and they can see the boat. But my thought was, okay, so a town growing needs something for kids. And if we're going to replace that growing area of the town with something for kids, I think we need either a big building or an expansive building that has something for different ages of kids. So you first have your younger kids. For younger kids, you know, 2 to 3 to 9, let's say, maybe an outdoor fields area where people can go and play sports, almost like a modified ESPN, but instead of having formal fields where you have to rent it out, you can just go and pick up a soccer ball and play soccer with your friends there on, you know, small little fields or miniature fields with soccer goals. You can have gymnasiums that are out there. And when it's cold, because even Florida gets cold sometimes, you have the same version inside. You have gymnasiums, a jungle gym, you know, places to play inside. You could have board games in there. I thought about, for the kids, you know, having like TV sort of based things, but I thought at that age, do they really need it? Nah, they'll do that when they're older. So just a place for your younger kids to go be active. And you have cast members there to kind of watch over them. That way, if parents want to go do something else, just like if you're on a Disney cruise, they can notify you if there's an issue. That way parents can go and do something by themselves without having to take care of their kids, which is something that they used to have in Disney. You could hire a babysitter and things, but I think that's a little harder than it used to be. For your teenagers, you can have old arcade games, coin-op operated games, but maybe make it free. You could have like a modified club for your 18 to 20 year olds that can't, you know, drink yet. You can have them order mocktails. You can almost have like a Dave and Buster's sort of atmosphere for them, you know, keep your teenagers occupied. And then for the adults, if you want something in the same complex, the same area, you could have a true dance club there where you can go, you can have a DJ playing music, you know, you can order your cocktails and at least have the comfort of knowing that you're only 50 to 100 feet away from your kids, who are also having their own fun in their own areas. So I almost thought of it as it's a way of, you know, the same kind of entertainment you may have on a cruise ship, but it's a little bit different in that it's going to be a little bit more focused on the kids, both from like 2 to 19, but also the adults are getting entertained in the same area, as opposed to with Disney Springs, where it's mostly, I think, restaurant-based for the adults and the bar scene. And I don't think there's quite as much for the kids to do. So that was my idea.
Disney, let me go ahead. Right now, hold on. I'm gonna talk to one person. Okay, I'm not gonna talk to any of you guys. Hey, Disney, I know you're listening. Okay, we know you listen to the show. You know, we know you have a designated set of people who listen to the show, listen to all podcasts who have a certain amount of downloads. This is a great idea. Like, these are great ideas. You should take these and implement them into Disney Springs, because it is going to draw people there. Ankur, I love that. You're going to see, I think we're going to see some duplicates as we move on. Because a lot of that I have in mind too. I'm like, the kids and the parents thing is the huge thing for me. It's almost mimicking Disney Cruise Line. So we'll get to that. But before I steal anything else, let me go up to the great white north, the great Kyle McCammon. Coach Kyle, man, what do you got?
All right, so I had a few elements that were similar to Ankur, but basically, if you reimagine Springs, take the area that it is right now, but I was going to put more the shopping and that kind of stuff in its own district. And so if you wanted to shop, that's where you go. The other portion of Disney Springs was going to be kind of the bars and restaurants and lounges. I was going to widen the walkways and basically have like a sip and spin kind of beer bike kind of idea, where you could get a group of friends for a certain, you know, price. You could bring whatever you wanted to on board, pedal, ride around. It's a cool way to, you know, enjoy your experience, have that time where you can, you know, laugh and create memories and stories. And it's unique in that way. And the other side of the walkway, be pedestrian and strollers and that kind of stuff, where it's separate, so it's safe, but you have two totally different experiences based on what you want to get out of it. Now, that would kind of be the perimeter area of the kind of larger area of Disney Springs. And in the middle, build a new building, which I can really only call Disney Quest 2.0 at this point. And so essentially what we'd be looking at is in the middle, kind of the flagship kind of thing that brings most people to Disney Springs, other than the experience of eats and drinks and that kind of stuff, would be this Disney Quest 2.0. And this is where all the families, if you wanted to your point, Justin, for Disney Cruise Line, there'd be like a kids area that you could basically pay for X amount of time, sign them up for a time slot. Adults, you can go do whatever you want, whether it is shopping or libations, or you want to just enjoy Disney Quest on your own and have the kids have their own experience with guided, whatever they have for the kids' activities, where it could be as a group, the kids all go and do certain things with their own ages and that kind of thing. But for the adults, they're going to have an opportunity to, you know, be kids again themselves and that kind of thing without having to worry who's where, what's going on, are they still in the building, all that kind of stuff. Now, the actual building itself would be a multi-level building as well. And so basically in the basement, there would be a glow go-karting track that's themed to Sugar Rush.
That sounds awesome.
Right? And so a lot of these ideas, I had to ask Shan for her opinion on some stuff as well, because I'm not the most creative person, but when you put us together, we do pretty good. So in the basement, glow go-karting, where you're going to have a Sugar Rush theme, you know, the option to have different enabled, you know, or advantages or disadvantages where slow people down, speed you up, that kind of stuff. You know, half hour sections, you go. In the basement, there would also be a clip and climb option that would have a couple different climbing walls with different themes. Like you could have a Wall-E wall, where you're kind of chasing Wall-E up the wall. You could have a Pride Rock wall, a Frozen wall, and that would basically span all the floors. So you can see, you know, everything as you climb up. First floor would be your entrance floor. That's information, map, have kind of a bar with some unique Disney Quest food and drinks. You would also be able to find some of the like signature snack options and that from each of the parks. That way, if you didn't have a park ticket, you could still get your favorite thing without necessarily being in the park at that point. From there, you're going to go to the second floor, and that's kind of the VR floor. On the VR floor, I think it'd be cool if you had a Toy Story themed like VR experience where you have different missions like the daycare, Zurg's Empire, Sid's Escape, stuff like that. You choose your character, and as a team, you have to do different missions and kind of escape from whatever area you're at that point. And I think it just creates more of a, you know, atmosphere where it's cohesive camaraderie. You all leave, you know, excited and telling stories about your experience there. On the other side of the hall, you'll have a Tron VR option where there's bikes, throw the headpiece on, and you get immersed in the Tron light cycle. And you know, you'd also have like an old school arcade option where whether it's coin operated or tap operated, so you kind of get a few different age demographics, and you get everyone excited for something that, you know, is pretty unique to that one space. The third floor, you would have a build your own coaster area, and then you'd also have like an underwater themed laser tag where each base is themed to a different movie that's kind of under the water themed. So you'd have like a Little Mermaid themed base where everything on the walls is like coral and bubbles and all that kind of stuff. And then you'd have a Moana option where it's like under the sea with the crab guy. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but you got the crab and that whole like glowy iridescent theme. Finding Nemo under there, Atlantis, like you name it, you can do it, right? And so that would basically take you to the third floor. And then for those who have like VIP or rooftop access, you have like a 360 bar restaurant up top where that's where you'd go for, you know, a nightcap or the dance, you know, night scene and that kind of stuff. So it hits everything. And if you want to do it as a family, you have that option. If you want to have the experiences be separate, so adults can be adults, but as kids again, kids can do whatever they need to do, make new friends, all that kind of stuff. That's what I would do.
First off, let me say this. That's incredible. Second off, I have one note here and it says, add a disco ball to Stargazers. That was all I had. That was it. That's all I was adding to Disney Springs. Dude, that's, you kidding me? You crushed it. Mike, normally I have to worry about going after you. Now you have to go after Kyle.
I know.
Let's go, Mike. Let's see what you got. Come on.
I got some pretty good stuff, but I definitely have it's going to be hard shoes to fill. I mean, you know, this is I got to step up my game here. I love it. I mean, everything about Ankers and Kyle's, it sounds very cool. I have something somewhat similar, but not quite. I mean, I want my area to be both kid friendly and adult friendly. So I try to incorporate both. But I also like the idea of Trader Sam's. You know, Trader Sam's is one of those places you can go to with the kids during the daytime. They can enjoy their stuff. But then after a certain hour of the night, it's not going to be, you know, for the kids. So it's one of those kind of, you know, get to play during the day, but it's for the adults at night. So speaking of Trader Sam's, that's actually what I want to add to Disney Springs. I think that the Trader Sam's that's in Polynesian, I think it's great that it's there. I think that it's nice, but you can only get about 10 people in there at the best. We did the California one, and I don't think it was nearly as good as the one in the Polynesian. And I think if they could bring the great vibe and all that into a very large location, I think it would be really, really great to have that at Disney Springs. You know, give us the Disney Springs version. Maybe it doesn't have to be exactly Trader Sam's, maybe something along that storyline that they could bring in there. But I like the whole idea of how it's kind of a lively kind of atmosphere bar. We've been through that before. The way they do the drinks, I think it's great. So that takes care of one of those particular areas that I want. The next thing that I want is a restaurant. Now, I went on my first Disney cruise, and Justin, help me with this because you've been on a lot of Disney cruises. I remember one of the restaurants we went into, I think it was the color palette where they would add the colors.
Animator's palette.
Yes, that was it. I couldn't remember the name for the life of me, and now you just reminded me. So, and I like how as the dinner would progress, the nights would change and they would add the color and the stuff would come. But the way I want to do my restaurant is I want to do like Flavors of International. So the restaurant that I want to have there is a restaurant that has your typical everyday stuff, your chicken, your meat, your fish, your vegetables, your pastas, just your regular everyday menu. But you and I both know, we all know that when you go into a restaurant, they have a lot of specials. So I want the theming of the restaurant to change every night. So maybe Monday night will be Italian night, Tuesday night will be a Greek night, Wednesday night will be a Japanese night. And I want the decor and some of the pictures in the restaurant to kind of change with the specials to go for the night. So you always have your basic specials, but I want your international flavors to be highlighted throughout the week. And depending upon what night of the week it is, you'll have a different flavor of the night, so to speak, or a different kind of flavor dish. So you can kind of try different things. So you could go to the restaurant on Monday, maybe get Italian, and then go on Friday and get, you know, some kind of other kind of exotic cuisine that they have, you know, featured, you know, from a different country. I like having that idea of having that as that. There's something that I want you to look up, and it's called Illuminate. And it was a show that was down in Manhattan. I don't know if you ever heard of it before. They have it in Las Vegas right now. And it's basically like a black light show. And it's a dark stage. You go and you sit in the audience. And it's stage performers have these like neon suits on. And it's a really, really cool show. It's not on Broadway. It's kind of like an off-Broadway show. Kind of reminds me of the whole Blue Man Group kind of thing. But it's more like techno kind of light up kind of suit stuff. So it's called Illuminate. I'd love to see the Illuminate bring their stuff over to Disney. It's family friendly. It's a great show. It's very entertaining. No matter what your genre is, it's the music is very lively. So I definitely want to add that. One thing, and I was kind of bringing our experience from Universal over to Disney Springs, because I think that Universal does a lot of things right on the City Walk, and I'd love to see over on the Disney Springs side, something that we're very familiar with, and that's like the Patty O'Brien's, the dueling pianos. I would love to see a dueling piano bar over in there. But besides just being a dueling piano bar, I would love to see it highlight all of the microbreweries from all around Florida. Have the you know, all the different kinds of breweries that we know, a lot of the IPAs. You know, you and I both know, Justin, that the breweries are very popular. They're certainly big around here. And they can also be kind of kid-friendly. You know, you can have the games to play, the cornhole. You can have the extra large tic-tac-toes. You can have stuff for the kids to do if the parents want to, you know, do a little bit of, you know, day drinking, so to speak, enjoy an adult beverage. So I definitely want to do a, like, microbrewery kind of tasting place with some bar foods and a little bit of a dueling piano at night. And the last thing that I want to add, and I think it's something that really needs to be added, especially in that area, because we've seen it in two of the resorts, but one of them closed during COVID, and I don't even know if it's completely opened up, but you really needed a good adult spa, especially after a long marathon or a run or a Run Disney event or any other time you want to relax during your vacation. I think having a really nice, high-quality spa would be great to add to Disney Springs. I think the two that were only there, one in Grand Floridian, one that was over in Saratoga Springs. I don't even know if the one in Saratoga Springs ever reopened. I think it was called Senses. I think it's been closed for a long time. I'd love to see that. No. It didn't reopen, yeah. Right? It's still closed. Yeah. So I think the only one that you really have available is Grand Floridian. So I think maybe if you had it in more of an easier location for people to get to, for not something that, you know, if people weren't in the park area or in the bubble, they wanted to go there and hit a good spa, I think that'd be a great place to have a spa.
All right. So one, you guys all crushed it. Like, this is the stuff that Disney needs to listen to. This is the kind of thing that if you added this to Disney Springs, people would go religiously. Because here's the thing. It's free. You can get in. You don't have to have a park ticket. I had a lot of things written down. I'm going to go to my one, and I'm kind of shocked that you guys did not mention this, because Kyle, a lot like you and a lot like Anker, I had talking about having something for the kids. I think having a kids club that would be kind of like, you know, based on the cruise line. Look, what would you pay? I would pay $20 or $30 an hour. I mean, no problem at all. If I could go and relax and go do other things like this, it's a money making opportunity if you're to create that. So I had that. Also had an adult only area, kind of like Pleasure Island. I love the comedy club aspect of things. I love having a kids club in that area to where they're doing their thing, I'm doing my thing. Kyle, you kind of mentioned that with having the different levels and all that kind of stuff. But the one thing I'm going to add, because you guys kind of hit a lot of it, is I'm shocked that it got to me and we're just not getting this. This is the one thing above all, everything else, that Disney is missing, and that is a sports bar. Disney is missing a place to go and to watch sports. But I'm not talking just your regular walk into a Buffalo Wild Wings and have lots of TVs. Disney needs to come out and they need to create a 3 or 4 level experience, sports experience. They have ESPN. They have all of this to where you can go and watch sports. You can have golf simulators, football simulators, baseball simulators. You can have all this kind of stuff. You can have running treadmills to where, hey, you can test how fast you can run against certain people, you know, with world records and stuff like that. You can have you can even have a swimming simulator if you wanted to, that you could sign up for, to show up for and say, hey, you get hooked on a harness. This is how fast you have to swim to be Michael Phelps in the Olympics. Imagine. You know what I mean?
Pretty cool. Yeah.
That would be,
you would get a whole different side of people. Yeah. Whole different side of people that they're just looking to just see what they're made of at that point.
That's it. Like, all you and your buddies go on a Thursday afternoon, you get a golf simulator, and then you go, hey, Disney can sell it as this. They could be like, hey, why don't you do the, you know, there's a package where you get 4 things that you can try. And it's the gold medal package. And you get to do the swim, the run, you know, like a virtual javelin toss or what, you know, you see what I'm saying? Like, you could do that type of thing. Like, they could do it 100%. And so for me, they need that. But the first two levels need to be the most innovative, amazing, fun, sports entertainment venue in Central Florida. They need to introduce VR. They need to do all that. That's, Disney is missing that. People are leaving property to go watch sporting events other places. And so for me, if I was going to add anything, it would be that three, four level sports entertainment experience to where you can go in and you can have that type of experience at Disney Springs. So on top of all that, Mike, I mean, you got to admit, there's nowhere else to watch the Super Bowl on Disney property.
No, we had a whole episode about that, and Dan wound up watching it over at Geyser Point, right? He sat out there at the bar the whole time. So, yeah, we definitely need some more options when it comes to, you know, doing the sports stuff.
100%. Listen, I think that Disney Springs has a lot to do with taking your family over there. But I also think it has a lot that could be added, and there's a lot of property there that they could add things to. Lots of shows, lots of great things that could come to that property. And that's going to be a lot of fun for people to say. But if you haven't thought about it, now's your time. Go over right now, DDP today, and let us know what you would add to Disney Springs, because we're excited to hear that over on that side.
Here's an honorable mention. How about adding some PhotoPass photographers? Have them go in our new areas. And you know what? If you get those great photos, you can post them on our DDP Facebook page, and it brings me to my favorite thing every week, and that would be Picks of the Week.
Picks of the Week. Picks of the Week. It's time for us to get our Picks of the Week.
All right, guys, you know how much I love Picks of the Week. And, you know, when we have guests, we got to go to them first. So, Ankur, what's your Pick of the Week?
So my pick is going to go this week to Mark Finder. He posted a picture of Joffrey's Coffee. I think actually he went down to Hilton Head, I believe it was, and said that starting off his day right with Joffrey's Coffee. And Mark, we do the same thing. Every time we go to Disney, we take every single packet of Joffrey's Coffee that's in our rooms. We take it back with us, and it's our way of keeping our normal lives a little Disney every day, just open up some Joffrey's Coffee and start a day that way. So I appreciate that. And Mark, you got my pick of the week.
Very cool. Great pick. Kyle, what's your pick of the week?
All right. So my pick's coming from Brandon Bignall. And each of the runs that he posts in the DDP Today Sorcerers group compares a Disney item, whether it's a movie or a character. And then it also tells you what that run is most similar to when it comes to a drink as well. So Brandon, you got my pick of the week.
Very cool. Great pick. Justin, what's your pick of the week?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Kat. The great Kat Dupree over at DDP Today News with Kat. She said, how to compact four awesome days into just a couple of pictures. Oliver's first trip to Disney was a success. Love it, Kat. That's what it's all about. And I love seeing the family down there creating those memories that'll last in a lifetime. Love it.
Very cool. My pick of the week is going to go to Donnie Hebert, who's happened to be a Florida local recently. I'm glad they made the move down there. And what a better way to do when you're down there as a Disney local, spend a day at Hollywood Studios. He's got some great pictures, him and the kid out doing some Disney stuff, some Star Wars stuff. You know I love Star Wars. When you do some Star Wars picks, you know you always got my pick of the week. So Donnie, you have my pick of the week.
Absolutely love it. DDP family, look, I hope you enjoy Disney Springs. We can't wait to hear what you would add to Disney Springs, because it's one of those things that a lot of families overlook it. I think a lot of families don't think to put that on their list. And I think it is one thing that Disney over the last decade has made sure to say, hey, come visit, come spend time here. You don't need a park ticket. I always tell families, I'm like, listen, if you're doing 5 days, create a day in the middle, go to Disney Springs, have a pool day. It really does make your trip a lot more enjoyable. So I think if Disney would listen and they would add a few things that we've talked about tonight, it may make it even more approachable for families around the world whenever they come to the Walt Disney World property to make sure they head over to Disney Springs. Let's close this up. Let's head over to Patreon, and we are going to talk foods over on the Patreon side. I'm excited to get y'all's opinion. Before we do that, let's close this thing up. Mike, starting with you, man.
More importantly, I'm so glad we got to cool little recording tonight. I'm so glad our guests were able to come on. You know, I love having our usual crew here, but having guests on is something special as well. So thank you to you two guys giving us our time tonight and sharing your Disney Springs stuff with us.
The great Coach Kyle.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. You know, going from the AHL and being called up to the NHL was a very nice thought. No, thank you guys so much for the opportunity. It was awesome hearing what you guys would change and choose to do with Disney Springs. And let's hope they are listening and we see some stuff happen in the future.
Is it nerve-wracking at all?
It was, you know, initially when I got the message, I was like shivered down my spine. Okay.
You got this. You're crushing it. You're crushing it, brother. Ankur, closing words, man.
Oh, well, I love talking Disney Springs. I agree. It's a hidden gem. You know, there's a reason even the locals will go there because it's a fun place to go. And I would have loved to spend more time at the old Downtown Disney, the island, the Society for Explorers Club, I heard was phenomenal. I mean, there are so many things they could have incorporated from that into the current version of Disney Springs. But, you know, we'll see. I think they do need to update it. They need to keep it fresh. Otherwise, people just aren't going to visit as much.
I 100% agree. Disney Springs is, for me, has become a must-do experience for the family. We actually find ourselves over quite often. And I think a lot of people overlook it. I hope that Disney continues to grow. I hope they continue to keep an open mind. I know that they're putting a lot of their energy towards the parks. I know they're putting a lot of energy towards expanding, you know, beyond Big Thunder and a bunch of other things that are going on. But I hope that they don't forget about Disney Springs, because they've done a really, really good job over the last couple of years. So I really, really hope they do continue to do a good job with that, and we can continue to enjoy it for years and years to come. DDP family, you're amazing. We appreciate you, and we hope you have an amazing week. Spread some cheer, be the best version of yourself, all those great things. And until next time, we will see you real soon. On behalf of the Disney Dads, we want to say thank you. We hope you find a little magic in your life every day, spread some Disney love, and keep moving forward.
And they all lived happily ever after. Each of us has a dream, a heart's desire. It calls to us. And when we're brave enough to listen and bold enough to pursue, that dream will lead us on a journey to discover who we're meant to be. All we have to do is look inside our hearts and unlock the magic within.
Ready to begin, let the wonder...
Come on.
And that's a wrap.
This has been YDF Media Productions.